Man se kaupa subhyasya kripasindhu vayabhasya patitaram pamanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Benares, he was avoiding the Mayavadi sannyasis who were there. Why? Because Mayavadis are great offenders of Krishna. It's obvious why. If someone says that I'm close to you, but you have no face, you have no arms, you have no name, and they completely ignore you, naturally, that is offensive. When we think about Krishna, and when we think about Krishna's holy names, we should remember always that Krishna is a person. And just what disturbs us, the same things that disturb us, and the same things that offend us, that give pain to our heart, are also disturbing and painful to Krishna. It offends Krishna. So, practically speaking, if you are ignored, if you walk into someone's house and you are completely ignored, or they start saying that you don't exist, practically speaking, naturally some pain comes to the heart. So therefore, because the Mayavadis are such offenders, because they give pain to Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very carefully avoided them. Very carefully avoided them. So when he was in Benares, which is the capital of Mayavad philosophy, he avoided the other Mayavadi sannyas, the other sannyasis, because they were Mayavadis. And what do you think the Mayavadis did?
They invited him.
But before that, what usually happens? Just talking, and he's like this, and look at him, he doesn't associate with us. Even though they're impersonalists, no persons exist. As soon as someone does something they don't like, they immediately, grum your guitar, start talking. They said he doesn't associate with us, and look what he's doing. He has his Sankirtan chanting Krishna's names, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra movement, and he's just dancing, a sentimentalist. Just sentiment, no philosophy, because the Mayavad philosophy is based on knowledge. The highest, according to the Jnanis, or the Mayavadis, is to get knowledge. To know, and in bhakti, it is not to know, but it is to love Krishna. Actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Bhajan Rahasya that the process of obtaining prema bhakti is to chant Krishna's names with ruchi, with taste. Not dutifully, not knowing even that I'm supposed to do this. I have to do it. That will bring us to a certain point in Krishna consciousness. But to actually attain prema or love for Krishna, we have to have a taste for it. Just like if we associate with someone. If we like that person's friendship, we like that person, naturally the relationship becomes intimate. If there is no affection, there will be no intimacy. Why? Why is affection, or love even, causes intimacy? Yes, exactly. Because where there is love, that person can be trusted. They will never do anything against our interests. And when there is no love, then manaraten asato navato bayi, then it is just the mental platform. So when Mahaprabhu was in Benares, he avoided the Mayavadi sannyasis, but he wanted to show them some mercy. So he accepted an invitation to take prasadam with them. And then when he went to their place where they were all sitting in a big room, perhaps bigger than this, he just sat outside where everyone washed their feet before they would enter into the assembly of holy persons, of sadhus. They would wash their feet, and that place was considered very dirty. It was considered filthy. And Mahaprabhu just sat in that place. But he didn't just sit there. He began to exhibit an effulgence. After all, Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. And all the Mayavadi sannyasis who address each other, even in Vrindavan, if one sees a Mayavadi sannyasi, when they meet each other, they say, Namo Narayan, I offer up my obeisances to you, O Lord Narayan. And their philosophy is that just by taking sannyas or giving up karma, you become the Lord. So, he, Mahaprabhu, really was the Supreme Lord. So he began exhibiting an incredible effulgence, charisma, that was so attractive that the leader of the Mayavadi sannyasis, whose name was Prakasananda Saraswati, he came outside and he was so attracted to this young, beautiful sannyasi who was so effulgent. He extended his hand and said, why are you sitting in this dirty place? You please come and sit with us. And Mahaprabhu said, no. You are so superior to me. They were criticizing him. He's so inferior. And when they invited him and he said, no, I am so inferior. I don't want to sit with you. I belong out here. But Prakasananda saw his humility and said, oh, you're as effulgent as Lord Narayan, you please come in. And then he began, and when Mahaprabhu entered, they sat him down right in the middle of the assembly, and they began to speak because everyone was so attracted to him, and they began to speak to him very respectfully. We see that you are so effulgent, so full of transcendental knowledge. But why is it that you're acting like a sentimentalist? Why don't you associate with us? A sannyasi's business is to gain knowledge studying Vedanta, and you dance and chant in the company of other sentimental people. You should associate with us. Study Vedanta, meditate. Why don't you do this? And Mahaprabhu's answer, he said, because my spiritual master gave me some instructions. Murkatumi. He said, you're a fool. This is what Mahaprabhu said, his guru told him. And he announced this to everyone. Murkatumi toma nahika vedanta adhikara. You don't have the adhikara. You don't have the qualification to study Vedanta. And then he gave them the positive. Mahaprabhu was saying, this is what my guru told me. Krishna mantra japa sada. You always chant this Krishna mantra because a mantra sar. This mantra is the essence. This is the essence of all the Vedas, the essence of all knowledge. So Mahaprabhu continued explaining, so because my spiritual master told me, Krishna mantra, japa sada, always chant Krishna mantra. So I always chanted the Krishna mantra. So this is what he's explaining to the whole room full of Mayavadi sannyasis. And then he said, and then by chanting this mantra, I began, practically speaking, to go mad. My body began to erupt in horripilations and goose pimples. The hairs of my body stand up, stood on. I would find myself by chanting, falling to the ground, devastated, and experiencing an internal ecstasy that is indescribable. And this was the effect of the internal ecstasy manifesting through this gross body. This is what he explained. I began to cry and dance and jump up and down. Krishna, 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 Krishna. This was the effect Mahaprabhu was getting by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or the Krishna Mantra. So Mahaprabhu told all the sannyasis who were thinking that knowledge was the highest thing, he said, I began to become afraid and feeling all this ecstasy that my knowledge had been covered. So I went to my guru and I said, this is what's happening to me. This, what kind of mantra, magic mantra have you given me that has turned me into a madman chanting and dancing with tears flowing from my eyes? What kind of mantra have you given me? Mahaprabhu then replied in the words of his Gumaraj. He said, his Gumaraj told him, very good, very good, very good. My dear boy, you've pleased me very much. This is the natural effect of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This ecstatic love for Krishna is the natural effect of chanting Krishna's names. Prema Pamarto, Parama Arto Mahan, this is the effect. And then Mahaprabhu said, he taught me a verse and told me to keep this verse always within my throat, within my mouth. In other words, always remember this verse and always speak it. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kaloa Nasteva, 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 Gatiyaniyata. That in this age of Kali, Manda Sumanda Matayo, Manda Abhagya Upadrutaha, where everyone is unlucky, misguided, lazy, and above all, everyone's mind is always, always, always disturbed in Kali Yuga. Disturbed by what? Disturbed by everything. Because everything in Kali Yuga is pratikul for bhakti. Our own minds, this, that, everything, diseases. Everyone's mind is disturbed. So therefore, in Kali Yuga, don't try to practice any other process, but just hold on tightly to the holy names of Krishna. That was the verse, more or less, that we read from Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita yesterday. Jayate, 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 namananda rupa marari. All glories to Lord Murari. In what form? In the form of his holy name. If any living being, that means each and every one of us, because we're living beings, we're souls, we're alive, we have consciousness. If any living being puts aside all tasks such as meditation, ritual worship, social duties, and even once takes Krishna's name, that name will grant him liberation. In Caitanya Charitamrita, it describes some of the effects of, in different places, some of the effects of chanting Krishna's name, Eka Krishna Nama, Kode, Sarva Papa Chai, like this, that all sinful reactions finished Eka Krishna, by one chanting of Krishna's names. Another effect all sins removed. By chanting Krishna's name, one can get the result of all the nine processes of bhakti. One who chants Krishna's names, if one thinks that 10 million koti koti asvamedha yajñas, if one thinks that one chant, once vibrating Krishna's name, is equal to performing 10 million asvamedha yajñas, if one thinks like that, one will be punished in the court of Yamaraj. And one who chants Krishna's name one time is a Vaishnava and worthy of respect. And one who chants Krishna's name one time is worshipable. When Subhuti Roy met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also in Benares, Subhuti Roy, who used to be a great landowner, Jamindar, he told Mahaprabhu of a great problem that he was suffering from. He was working under the king, Nawab Hussein Shah, and Nawab Hussein Shah, no, he wasn't working under him, but he was living there, used to be his servant. And one time he had beaten him. But he was caring for him with so much affection, but one time he had beaten him. And when he became, Nawab Hussein Shah became king, his wife saw the scar in his back and said, "What is this? Who's done this to you?" And he said, "Subhuti Roy, I was a boy and I had done some mischief, some naughtiness, and he beat me." And his wife immediately said, "He should be killed. He has dared do this to you. Kill him immediately." But because the relationship was greatly predominantly one of affection, that was the last thing that Nawab Hussein Shah wanted to do. So they have it another, well, kill him in a different way, because Subhuti Roy is so religious, kill his religion. So they took some water from a water pot, a Muslim's water pot, and poured it upon his head, and by that way, in the Hindu strict culture, he had lost his caste and position in Hindu society. And he was so religious and so attached to the principles of religion in that way that he was completely distraught. And he asked people, "What should I do? What should I do? What should I do?" Some people told him, "You should drink hot ghee, kill yourself. You've lost your religion. What is the purpose of your life?" Other people said, "It's not a big thing." So he was confused. And Prabhupada says in the purport that this is the way, if you ask religionists, philosophers, and doctors the same question, you will always get different answers. And you can also put astrologers into that too, I have seen. So he was confused. So he asked Mahaprabhu, he saw Mahaprabhu in Benares, and he asked, "What should I do?" He had left everything. "What should I do?" And Mahaprabhu told him, "Just always chant Krishna's holy names." And then he told him the same point. Just Eka Krishna Nama. Just say the holy names one time. And this is in Namabhasa. And all your material life and reactions will be finished. And Arnama Laite, more chanting, Krishna Charana Paile. You will attain the lotus feet of Krishna. By a little bit of chanting, he said, your sinful reactions for countless births will be finished, and if you continue always chanting, then you will attain the lotus feet of Krishna. You will attain Goloka Vrindavan. You will awaken your loving relationship with Krishna. You will be stop acting under the shelter of the material energy, and you will be acting in relationship with Krishna, which is This is what the soul is longing for. This is what we is what is pushing our activities for pleasure in this world. We are empty inside. Empty of what? We are empty of our relationship with Krishna, and we try to become fulfilled by looking in tens and thousands and millions of other ways for the satisfaction that will continually avoid us until we awaken our relationship with Krishna. That was the first part of the verse, and the second part that Sanatana Goswami said, give up everything else, O holy name. That holy name is the greatest source of eternal pleasure. It is my very life and my ornament. I am wearing this. It is my decoration. It is my wealth. So Mahaprabhu finished talking with the Mayavadi Sannyasis. And of course, in the final chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, he gives us the 8 verses that were spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these verses contain the entirety of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy in very condensed sutra form. And not only do they contain all the philosophy, it also, these verses also contain the stages of chanting Krishna's holy names. And they also instruct us how to move from one stage to the next. Now naturally, we would all like to hear, and there is benefit in doing so, immediately the highest stage of chanting Krishna's names. Asleshava padaratam panastumam adarshanam mamahatam karotuva. We would like to hear naturally of the ecstasies of the Braja Gopis of Srimati Radharani and the separation that she experiences when even a moment passes without being able to see Krishna right in front of her, or the ecstasies or the intensity of her love is so great that the blinking of an eye, nimesha, causes her intense pain, or her ecstasy is so great that even when she is with Krishna, and when I say ecstasy, we should understand that this is love. Her love for, just try to imagine what love actually is and what we are striving for and what the holy names can actually award to us. That the love of the residents of Vrindavan is so intense that when they are with Krishna, when the Braja Gopis are with Krishna, when Srimati Radharani is with Krishna, she feels separation from him. This is inconceivable, practically speaking. Actually speaking, it's inconceivable to a conditioned soul, because to be a conditioned soul means to be selfish. It means to be self-centered. It means to think of myself first and see others and everything in relationship to how much others and everything is going to bring me pleasure and happiness. And therefore, everyone in Kali Yuga's mind is disturbed, because we're trying, practically speaking, to reorganize the universe, including everyone in it, to acknowledge the fact that I'm the center of existence. So no wonder our minds are disturbed. We can't keep the simplest thing organized, like the traffic in Delhi. What to speak of trying to organize the universe? It was funny that my son was in Vrindavan. He had come from Bombay. and he was standing in front of the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and he said that this is so much heavier than the traffic in Bombay. Excuse me, Mumbai. So I'm the center of existence, even though it's so ludicrous, it's so obviously foolish. But yet, this is what false ego means, trying to reorganize the universe, or my own little part of the universe, so it will acknowledge me as the center, because Ishwaraham aham bogi, so I can enjoy, or at least be peaceful. And it can't be done. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wished to give us the Yuga Dharma, the process that does work, and that of course is chanting Krishna's name. So we like to hear the highest principles, and it is required to understand but we should understand it deeply. Deeply. We should understand it as material life is in complete opposition to love for Krishna. Self-centeredness, selfishness is in complete opposition to love for Krishna. So there is a process, a definite process of attaining this. The greatest gift in this world is a desire. To give up the selfishness that now so much possesses me and afflicts me, and to become actually a servant, a lover of Krishna. The most glorious and most fortunate thing if we have that desire in our heart, or even desire to have a desire. But yet, we must walk the path of spiritual life. A path that isn't always, when we first join, we may think it's going to be very, very simple, and we romantically look at it, oh, it's going to be so. We all thought like this in the early days of the movement. I remember one conversation I had with Rupanuga Prabhu, it was at 26 Second Avenue. And Prabhupada had just formed the GBC to manage the society. And I remember him was speaking, and I said that I hope, because it was to organize the society after Prabhupada's departure from this world, because then, at that time, he was organizing everything. In fact, we could say he was the only adult in the movement at that time. But this was specifically to keep the society moving and fulfilling its mission after Prabhupada departed from this world. So I made the comment to Rupanuga Prabhu that I hope at least there's one pure devotee by that time. And he said, well, by then we'll all be pure devotees. And that's how everyone thought. But the path is simply not that simple. Because of this one thing, that we have to give up our self-centered, selfish, false ego and become servants. So the process Mahaprabhu gave us. So I would like to start at the beginning, and then, Krishna willing, we'll move forward, not all in this class, and certainly. But I would like to start at the beginning, at the most basic point. And that most basic point, I will tell you now, everyone do this now. Think of what the one thing, if you could actually do one thing that would make the most difference in your spiritual life, that would bring you within your capacity. The one thing within your capacity that would take you a step forward in your, towards love, your love for Krishna. What would that one thing be? Raise your hand when you have that in your mind. What one thing that you, within your capacity, that you could take you the greatest step forward? It's a very interesting meditation. But just raise your hand when you have that one thing in your own mind. I'm not going to ask you what it is necessarily, but not, I may ask a few people. Anyone want to, just raise your hand and say if you want to say what that one thing is for you. That may put pressure on you to for yourself. Yeah, go ahead, Prabhu.
I was thinking more effort, diligence, applying my faith.
In faith. These are actually very personal things, I find. Mine always is, if I could just listen while I chant my japa. I think my mind is particularly wild. But if I could just hear Krishna's names, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in, that book, yes, appeared. At the end of his Sharanagati, the last song he describes the effects of chanting Krishna's name. It's an incredible song. He talks about the ecstasy he experiences by chanting when Krishna's name starts to reverberate in his heart. While causing such an ecstatic disturbance, the holy name showers liquid nectar on my heart and drowns me in the ocean of divine love of Godhead. He does not allow me to understand anything. Notice he doesn't allow me, but Krishna, Abhina Twam Namanamano. For he has made me truly mad and has stolen away my heart and all my wealth. Such is the behavior of him. This is Krishna's holy name. Who is now my only shelter. I am not capable of describing all this. The holy name of Krishna is independent and acts at its own sweet will in whatever way he becomes happy. That is also my way and my happiness. The holy name of Krishna is the bud, like a flower bud, of divine love. It is the abode of devotion's wonderful mellows. Such is the power that he manifests. That although he displays his power only slightly, just a little bit, because as Krishna is unlimitedly powerful, Krishna's holy name is unlimitedly powerful. Just a slight display of his name, he reveals his own divine form and qualities. He steals my heart and takes it to Krishna. Being fully manifest when the Sudanam reveals itself, when the pure holy name reveals itself to such a pure holy chanter, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, being fully manifest, the holy name takes me to Braja and reveals to me his own love sports, pastimes in Braja. He gives to me my own divine eternal body, Siddhadeya, Siddhasarupa. Keeps me near Krishna and completely destroys this mortal body of mine. The name of Krishna is a touchstone. Whatever touches the holy name turns to gold. A mine of devotional mellows. It is eternally liberated and the embodiment of pure rasa. When all impediments to the pure chanting of the holy name are taken away, when all things that stop us from chanting the holy name purely are taken away, then my happiness will know its true awakening. So I would like to maybe not begin at the beginning, but next to the beginning, where because the beginning of Mahaprabhu's words is Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. We should all say that, just so we begin at the beginning, based on the principle. Please. Chaito Dharpana Marjanam Baba Mahadavagni Navapanam Shreyakaraiva Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavaru Jivanam Anandam Bhudivardhanam Pratipatam Purnam Amritasadhanam Savatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. So, that verse describes seven effects that come from chanting Krishna's holy name. Again, these are the words of Mahaprabhu. Chaito Dharpana Majanam, the heart is cleansed. We have the mirror of the heart is cleansed. When you look into a mirror, one expects to see oneself. But if there is 30 miles of dust and dirt on the mirror, one just sees the dust and the dirt, and that's what happens when we examine our consciousness. Because it is covered by unlimited dirt and dust accumulated for years together in chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna's holy names removes that dust. Bhava Mahadavagni Navapanam extinguishes the fire of bhava, the forest fire of material existence. Sarva Papa Chai. Shriyakaraiva Chandrakam Vitaranam. It expands. The white spreads the white lotus or lily of our good fortune blossoms when the moon rays, the cooling moon rays of the holy name pour down upon our consciousness. The white lotus of our good fortune expands. That means our spiritual identity becomes revealed. Vidyavaru jivanam. Transcendental knowledge automatically follows as Vidyavaru, the wife of the life of the wife of knowledge. As the wife naturally follows the husband, transcendental knowledge, knowing, follows the holy names. Anandam buddhivardhanam, an ever increasing ocean of ecstasy. Anandam buddhivardhanam patipatam pona amrita aswadanam. It is pleasurable at every step, at every stage. It awards happiness. Sarvatma snapanam. It bathes the soul. The soul's subtle and gross, but everything becomes cleansed. And therefore, because of these effects of chanting Krishna's names, it is victorious. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam is victorious over the material energy. So, what's the problem? One can ask. It's not exactly what I'm experiencing. But yet, that first verse, with all its Shastric references, is meant to pull us to taking shelter of Krishna's names as the process. So Shraddha, faith is required. Otherwise we will not chant Krishna's names seriously. But then, the next verse, everyone please. Nam nam akari bhoola niva sava shaktis tata pita. Se tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdai raga. So this verse explains nam nam akari bhoola, that the holy names, they possess Bahudha, Niva, all of Krishna's potencies, so many potencies, all of Krishna's potencies are there. And there are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name, differing from the Vedic mantras which have to be chanted at certain times, certain places, certain directions, by certain people, certain restrictions. No, we can chant Krishna's names everywhere and anywhere. Kirtaniya Sadahari. So Krishna is there saying, take me, take me. And when, at all times, in all places, I'm fully there, I'm fully present in my names. And this is Krishna's mercy, Bhagavan Mamapi. But, Durdaivamidrisam. Durdaiva means so unfortunate as I am. Nanuraga. I have no a taste and attraction for Krishna as he's come to me in this form. So Bhaktivinod Thakur explains the cause of our misfortune, our unfortunateness, that we don't, even after being given the holy names, take it, take these holy names, take it, wake up, chant Krishna's names constantly, take shelter of Krishna's names. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan. Take Krishna's names, they're yours. Take Krishna, he's yours. And I don't want him. I have no attraction. I have no attachment. I don't have taste. And quite amazingly, it's not that I don't have taste for anything. I have taste for so many things. Not this, not Krishna, not him. But I have taste for so many other things that are petty, small, that bring me misery. Janya, Shunya, Bisha, Kainu. They are poison. And I willingly drink this poison day after day as my life shortens. Knowingly. Janya, Shunya. And after having heard 1,000 times, still I do it. So this is truly misfortune. So the first thing Mahaprabhu is doing here to instruct us, or the second thing is pointing out our misfortune, because he's saying, take it, take it, take it. And we're saying, no thank you. I have another appointment right now. If we actually had the Shraddha, our heart would break to understand our misfortune, and we would cry just understanding that. If we actually believed that it was true, then we would be confronted with our foolishness, our ignorance, our stupidity. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Vajranahasya quotes the causes, the four causes, and they're really going, ultimately they're one cause, but he quotes four causes from the Abhinaya Sutra for this misfortune, for this lack of taste, and they are lack of knowledge, and asatrishna, which means that we thirst, instead of having a thirst for the beverage, the nectarian beverage of Krishna's holy name, I have a thirst for Coca-Cola, which is poison, and Pepsi Cola, and Limca Cola, and this sense gratification, and that sense gratification, subtle and gross. So he names the material pleasures, the petty material pleasures in this world that I want, and then the heavenly pleasures that I want, and then the subtle siddhis, mystic controlling abilities that I want. And then ultimately the desire for liberation. These things are the poison that make us unfortunate. And then he talks about riddhaya dolabham, or weakness in heart, beginning with envy and taste for things that cause harm to our faith in Krishna consciousness, attachment to things that we shouldn't be attached to. And then the desire, and Raghunath Das Goswami describes in Manas Shiksha the desire in the heart that is so hard to remove, even for sadhus, holy people, the desire for pratishta, fame, to be known as, oh, very good speaker, to be, oh, he's such a nice, yes. this one is very hard to pull from the heart. One really has to love Krishna or be a servant of Guru and Gauranga to pull this one from the heart, to be that surrendered. No selfishness at all. Even this subtle desire to be known, famous. And Krishna has so kindly given us our very big society of Krishna consciousness that will help us remove this. Because for every one person who says, what a great devotee, there'll be 10 nowadays who say, this person is terrible and look what he's done. And rah, 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 rah. They are our gurus. Krishna sends them to criticize us, to remove this tendency of pride from our heart. And no one ever becomes free of the people who will talk about them. Impossible. Krishna sends them. And he empowers them to be correct. That's the hardest part to understand and accept. But the last one that he described is really the essential one. And that is, that makes us unfortunate and disallows us from actually getting the benefit of the holy name. And that is aparad, offenses. He's also described this in his own commentary on Shikshastak as the reason of the Dadaiva. Only this, offenses. Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami, says this is the only reason that we don't get the effects of the holy name. We commit offenses. And then we start thinking, oh, it doesn't work. And immediately that's another offense. Harinama Kalpanam. It's imaginary what they say about the holy name, an exaggeration. Offense is offense. This is the problem. And this is the one, he describes four different kinds of offenses. One is seva aparat, offenses when performing deity worship. Then nam aparat, offenses against the holy name. There are 10 offenses against the holy name. And then for the third one, he pulls out Vaishnava aparat from the offenses against the holy name and puts that in its own category. And then, interestingly enough, in his own words, the fourth offense is Narayanya, offenses against anyone. Because everyone is Krishna's. Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Mama Eva Angsa Jiva Loke. So I would like to speak and just because we want to remove the dadaivam, the unfortunateness. And one of the offenses against the holy name, and perhaps this is a specific problem that I have, and perhaps you don't have this problem, is inattentiveness while chanting. So the way that the Shikshastakam is organized is that the qualities that you gain at each level in which the verse is spoken, like Shraddha, the first verse, as one increases in the verses, and one, for instance, if one can chant on higher levels, one also has Shraddha. It's not that you transcend, go beyond the stage of Shraddha and move to the next stage. No, rather, one Shraddha increases. And the way to increase, and then after that, there's bhajana kriya and anartana vritti, and removing the offenses, because to get the result of chanting the holy names, one has to chant offenselessly. Because the offenses make us unfortunate, and they stop our getting a taste. And getting a taste is the process. Chanting with taste is the process for developing prema. So it's important essential, if we wish to make advancement, it's essential, but if we want to make advancement, it's not essential if we don't want to make advancement, but if we wish to make advancement, it's essential that we begin chanting offenselessly. Prabhupada would say sometimes, in the beginning, one will chant offensively, naturally, but later on, one will come to the clearing stage. But how long is this beginning supposed to go on for me? How long do I casually criticize others? In the course of every conversation, oh, this one's like this, this one's like this, this one's like this, and blah, blah, blah. Criticism of devotees. And this is the one difficulty that comes living in the association of devotees, because we see each other frequently and we know the weaknesses, and we criticize all the time. Just casually, without even thinking about it. And unless we remove this habit, and I've seen it in myself, if I criticize devotees, or I feel my heart going like this, just closing right up. Hardness enters. And this is the words of the second canto of the Bhagavatam, Tarasmasaram Ridayam Batedam. Where Shonaka Rishi says that indeed, anyone who chants Krishna's names and what happened to Mahaprabhu and what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if that doesn't happen to them, if they don't start crying with the heart melting when chanting Krishna's names, their heart is considered, how does Prabhupada translate it? Steel frame. And the Sanskrit is tarasma saram. Asma means stone. Saram means essence of stone. What is the essence of stone? It is the essence, what is it? You don't see soft stone. The essence of stone means hardness. So how hard does the heart become? Has to, the heart have to be? So the Guruji says, if we chant that Krishna is there and we don't experience Krishna, and the purport Prabhupada explains, this is just due to offenses. Just offenses. So we should really, really, first, there's all those four types of offenses that were mentioned should be avoided, but especially Vaishnava Aparat. I'm the most guilty. So therefore, I get the fortune of not being able to fall asleep when I'm giving class and I have to listen. So we should really become determined to stop it. Unless people who we should check and make sure we have affection and the well wishes of that person in mind before we say anything about them negative, then it's required. But yet, although I've just mentioned this very strongly, I would like to really talk about attentiveness while we're chanting. And again, this isn't the final stage of chanting, to be attentive and listen, because if we get a little bit of taste, that happens immediately and automatically. But we have to, when speaking about the first two verses of the Chaitanya of Sukshasnam, we have to emphasize what Mahaprabhu was emphasizing, which is chanting offenselessly, and the one I would like to mention is inattentiveness. Now, the next stage, the next verse is Trinada Pisanichena, and we will speak about that next time. And this is, that verse, in one sense, is the, we were talking about the threshold last night to the spiritual world, That verse is the threshold to bhakti. But I don't want to talk about it right now. And then after that verse, because what does anyone know what stage of bhakti that Trinadapi describes?
Nista.
Yes, nista. And I'll explain why in the next class. And then after that, when one is in nista consciousness, then one has to do some increasing and decreasing for ruchi to develop in the heart. And that's the next verse, the fourth verse. Nandanam, nandanam, nasandari. One has to get one's desiring proper. Our desires in spiritual life must be increasing, like, and they will burn to ashes all the material impediments by the mercy of the Holy Name and the association of devotees and other things. But okay. But now I would raise your hand if you don't have your beads with you. Oh, good. Just very, very simple technique. And this is practically the only technique we're going to learn. Because the rest of the process is beyond technique. It can't be done mechanically. It has to spring from inward. But this simple technique can help us remove inattentiveness from our chanting. It can help. There is no magic except mercy, descending magic. But this simple technique can help. It is simple. There are four simple principles. The first one is make the task of the mind very, very simple. And just chant one. Just make what you're trying to do. Simplify what you're trying to do to I'm trying to listen to one mantra. Or, when that's even a little difficult, and I find myself, even when I'm chanting well, and that doesn't, but I'll go back to this. When one's chanting well, one doesn't have to think about this, then one can move on. But when one isn't chanting well, here is something that everyone can go back to. Just try to listen to one mantra. And from this, the next stages will come. And if it's hard to listen to one mantra, and believe me, my mind makes it very hard to listen to one complete mantra. I can travel over the universe 50 times from the beginning of the mantra to the end. Then just hear one name. Hare Krishna, Rama. Just hear one name. Make it really simple. And the mind does best when it has a simple task that it knows that it can't escape from. But you'll watch your mind. Just like this morning. Raise your hand if you didn't speak to anyone this morning before the class began. Okay. Not very many people. But please try to do that because we want to focus our mind on what we're really trying to do here. Raise your hand if you minimized who you spoke to. That's almost everyone. Thank you. Raise your hand if you didn't have any dialogue with your mind. And this is what happens when we try to chant properly. The mind says, but what about me? My business. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, mana dormati samsara bitore. It is due to the mind that we're in this material world. A wicked mind brought me into this world. Please don't doubt this. Because if you doubt this point, Then the second principle, the first principle is listen to one mantra or one holy name. If you doubt that the mind can give you trouble and wants to until it becomes very, very pacified and has a taste, which doesn't have to take a long time, then you won't be able to get the second principle properly, and that's sankalpa or determination. That right now, at this particular time, I don't have anything else to do. No matter what my mind's going to tell me, and indeed it's going to try, whatever it says, I don't have anything else to do other than hear this one mantra. So simple. Keep it simple. Listen to a mantra, but this will not work. I promise you, it will not work unless you make a personal, individual determination that I'm going to hear this one mantra or one holy name. Without the determination, nothing happens. The mind will say, it's boring, you have to do this, and you just have to say, later. Don't even say later. Just say, Hare Krishna. Just listen to the one mantra. The third principle is just wherever it goes, yato yato nishtalati manas tanshalam astiram. Wherever it goes, bring it back. Try again. Part of determination. And the third part is, fourth rule is be detached. Don't worry if you've chanted 16 terrible rounds and haven't heard one mantra. Your freedom is the mantra, the holy name of Krishna that you are chanting right now. Be detached. Just keep your mind on what the real task is. Four simple principles. First, one mantra. Listen to one mantra or one holy name. And you can start with the first one, Hari. That's the most important word, and it's often neglected. If you catch the Hari, listen to Hari, then it's easier. Just hear one holy name, one mantra. Second is you have to be determined, otherwise nothing happens. You have to renew your determination. Third, try again and be detached. Fourth. Very simple, very simple, very simple. Don't become discouraged. If you hear one mantra, because we heard so many glorifications of hearing one mantra. Munacharya Prabhu, later, could you just put those four up on there? So let's practice right now. And that's what we would do for the remainder of the... And amazingly enough, even if you have a mind that tends to wander, probably most of you don't. But even if you do, you'll see that your mind will quiet down if you become determined to listen to one mantra or one holy name. So what we're going to do now is chant one mantra together in unison. And it's sometimes a little hard for many reasons because you hear everyone else's mantra. But before we begin this, just decide, I'm going to listen. Make that determination. Because it's so beneficial to hear one Maha Mantra, one holy name. And no one can make this determination for you. Ready? Make the determination and try to keep it up until we begin. All I have to do is listen to one mantra right now. So I'll say 1, 2, 3, and then I'll begin and just follow my speed. It's not a practical speed for chanting japa, but just listen. And if your mind wanders a little bit, just bring it back. Yes, what I'm going to do right now is hear one holy name, one mantra. Ready? Become determined. Know what the task is. Simple. 1, 2, 3. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Stop. How did you do? Huh? 70%. Okay. Anyone else? How did you do? Yes. I did about 40%. I was thinking, what am I going to say next? And I got caught. Let's try it again. Become determined. Without making a determination, nothing happens. And it's harder on one mantra in one sense. If we chant more mantras, which we'll do in a moment, then you have another chance very quickly. One, two, three. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, who did better that one? I did better on that one. Raise your hand high so I can just get it. Oh, that's good. Okay, now let's chant like three or four. I'll just say stop sort of abruptly. But just remember the principle. One mantra, one holy name, and Hare. Just hear that first Hare, and the first Krishna, and the last Rama. If you can hear the last Hare, Rama, Hare, Rama, 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 Hare, then that's the best thing to help you get to the first Hare Krishna. And then, but if you don't make a determination, understand what your task is, nothing happens. Then be detached, and wherever the mind wanders, bring it back. So become determined. We'll chant a few mantras this time, and I'll just stop it at a particular point. Raise your hand if you're determined. Raise your hand if you're still determined. The mind really is flickering. Okay, keep determined. Remember what the determined means. Know what the task is. Okay. One, two, three. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Keep determined. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
keep determined.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, stop. Stop. Raise your hand if you did. Sometimes you did well. Raise your hand if you heard one holy name. To some degree. Raise your hand high so I can see, please. Thank you. One mantra. Every word of one mantra. Raise your hand if you actually managed to do that. One mantra. Every word. That's what we want to do. And then, gradually. Now, what I would like to do now, and we don't have much time, in fact, we're practically over, is... We'll start chanting slowly, but be determined, and then I'll say, go at your own speed. And then go at your own speed at a speed that's natural for you. But please try and hear one mantra, not even one mantra at a time. The mind doesn't deal well with at a time, because then it starts thinking of the future, and then it starts thinking of the past. Just hear one mantra. It is so powerful, one of Hare Krishna Ma mantra. And then we'll finish one round in this way, and then we'll end. Again, this is an attempt to a simple technique that one can apply with one's intelligence and determination to remove or help us remove the offense of pramada, inattentiveness, which will allow the holy name. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this offense is the breeding ground for all other offenses. So please be determined right now. Know what the task is. Without determination, it doesn't work. You ready? Raise your hand if you're ready. Ready? One, two, three. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, chant at your own speed. But be determined. One mantra. Or one holy name, and be detached. And wherever the mind wanders, yato nishchalati. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Be determined. Make your sankalpa. I will listen to one mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Okay. Even though we may not be finished with this round, why don't we just stop here, because I don't want to go on too late. There'll be plenty of time to bathe our consciousness, our chitta, our heart with the holy names today and for the next few days. So why don't we end now. Please take this with you as the something basic, not the end of chanting, but the basic to help us chant Krishna's names in an offensive way, fenceless way, so that we can move forward. Now, I suggest that before you leave, offer your prayers to our Lords here, and then, as you like, just offer your obeisances and leave. And prasadam is going on at this moment as we pray. Thank you very much.